À, những lúc đó thì thì hôn nhân chúng tôi thì này dạy những cơn bão.
At that time our marriage goes through a lot of storms.
Dạ, bão mỗi lúc càng mạnh hơn.
And the storms get stronger.
Dạ, tôi thì rất là nóng tính. Vợ tôi thì rất là hiền.
I'm very hot tempered and my wife is very mild.
Dạ, khi mà bão nổi lên thì tôi la vợ và vợ tôi khóc.
When it was a storm, I yelled at her and my wife cried.
Dạ, tôi càng nói hãy nín đi thì cô ấy càng khóc to lên.
The more I told her to stop crying, she cried even more.
Và một điểm nữa là vợ tôi học về ngôn ngữ nên tranh luận rất là giỏi.
And one more thing, my wife studies linguistics, so she's very good at arguing.
Dạ, khi đó thì bão lại càng to hơn.
Then the storm got even stronger.
Dạ, nhưng cảm ơn Chúa, tại thời điểm những cơn bão nổi lên thì chúng tôi nhớ đến câu chuyện anh em tương giao trong hôn nhân của chúng tôi.
But thank the Lord that whenever there is a storm, we recall the story that the brother told us in the meeting.
Khi đó chúng tôi thực hành bằng cách mời Chúa Giêsu vào trong thuyền hôn nhân của
we
mình.
We practiced inviting Jesus into our boat of marriage.
Bằng cách chúng tôi quay lại kêu cầu, Chúa Giêsu.
And we turned to the Lord and called, oh Lord Jesus.
Yeah, cầu nguyện và ăn năn cùng với nhau.
We pray and we repent together.
Yeah, cảm ơn Chúa vì đó là phương cách để gìn giữ hôn nhân của chúng tôi được bình an trong những cơn bão.
Thank the Lord, that's the way to keep our boat safe in the storms.
Yeah, bằng cách mời Giêsu vào trong thuyền hôn nhân của mình.
By inviting Jesus into the boat of our marriage life.
Yeah, và hôn nhân chúng tôi đã được gìn giữ bình an trong 9 năm.
And our marriage has been preserved for 9 years.
Yeah, sắp tới là kỷ niệm 10 năm.
We're going to celebrate 10 years anniversary.
Yeah, và vợ tôi sẽ có thêm một số lời tương giao về việc Chúa là thuyền hôn nhân của mình.
My wife will have more testimonies.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will have some testimonies. You know, our family came to America in 2020, right in the pandemic. At that time, Vietnam was a very safe place. We had less than 20 COVID cases. But America was very terrible, and at that time, we didn't have vaccine yet. So we were like going straight to the eye of the storm. And everyone was very concerned about our family. But we still decided to go because we believed in the Lord's work. It says that surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. So we believed that the Lord had given me the scholarship. He would take us to America safely and He would protect us. We lived in Rochester, upstate New York for 2 years. Now, when I recall those days, I cannot imagine how we managed to survive. So for the first year, we didn't have a car. My husband didn't have a driving license, and he didn't have a job. So the whole family of three lived on my little stipend. There were times when our hearts were shaken. But most of the times, we reminded each other that the Lord had taken us all the way here from the other side of the earth. And He wouldn't let us suffer. Amen. He wouldn't forget His children.
Amen.
There were a lot of difficulties, but we always knew that Jesus was in our boat.
Amen.
You know, it took my husband 7 times to get the driving permit and driving license. I still remember the day our friend promised to take our family to DMV for my husband's driving permit test. You know, we always went together, always go together. So the plan was that our friend would drop us off at DMV, go fishing, then he would return and pick us up. But when we came to see him, he was busy tying the kayak onto the roof of the car. It took him so long that we were late for the appointment. So when we arrived, DMV didn't let my husband take the test. They closed. So we had to go outside and wait for our friend. We couldn't contact him because there was low connection. It started to snow. It got darker and darker, colder and colder. So the three of us held each other in the coldness, in the darkness, and we waited and waited for so long. You know, at that time we had very reasonable reason to say negative things, to blame our friend. But we just told each other that this happened because the Lord allowed it to happen. And we also told each other that this was just a momentary lightness of affliction that turned us to the Lord, that made us depend on Him more and look to Him more. We knew that the Lord, the Lord's thoughts for us are the thoughts of peace and not for evil. So we didn't blame our friend, but we started to praise God, and that surprised our friend a lot. We knew that Jesus was always in our boat. We constantly prayed to the Lord about our financial needs. We told Him that, "Oh Lord Jesus, we don't want to be so poor that we would become a burden for the church. But we don't want to have too much money, because too much money would distract us from enjoying Your precious presence. We just want enough for our living. We just want enough. We don't want more. We don't want less." And we believed that God made us and He will carry us. We believed that God knew our needs, and at the right time, He would open up for us. And He did. He did. And He always does. After my husband got a driving license, he got a job. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, after 2 years in Rochester, our family moved to Piscataway for a new journey. We are sailing in a foreign sea again for 5 more years. This time, we are not scared. We're not anxious. We're not afraid at all. But we are 100% confident that as long as we let Jesus in our boat, we will have peace, even peace in the boat.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Dad, Sister Beryl. I hope you all picked up a few of the really awesome phrases that were spoken in their speaking. This phrase stuck out to me the most is, we let Jesus into our boat of blank, marriage, work, whatever. And we'll see that every single one of us has some sort of boat, per se. And every single one of us can let Jesus into our boat. That's what causes there to be peace in the storm. So anyways, we will also continue with our brother Paul. So he'll also share with us his experience.
Try not to have it too close to your mouth, otherwise you might have a...
Okay, is that good? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Good evening, everyone. My name is Paul, and it is really great to see everyone here tonight. I only have about 4 to 5 minutes to tell you about my experience with the Lord. And unfortunately, to tell it completely, it requires much more time than that. So I'm going to provide you with a Cliff Note version of my experience. You know, if you want to know more details, you know, feel free to reach out to me. And we can fellowship with my wife and I, and we can share more details. So, I grew up Catholic as a child. I was baptized. I had my first communion. I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. But what I never had through all of my life is a personal relationship with the Lord. I didn't even know how to pray, to be honest. You can ask my wife. I didn't know how to pray. I couldn't say grace at dinner. It was terrible. I knew all the prayers that I learned in the Catholic Church, but I didn't know how to pray directly to the Lord. So as a previous sister and brother said, they were talking about the storm. And life is storms. And I think everyone in life has storms that they experience. There are various storms that they need to endure. And these storms can be of different intensities. You know, and I kind of look at this as a hurricane, different types of hurricanes. They start out as a tropical storm. It's just a little wind and rain. But then they intensify. It can be a Category 1, the less intense of the hurricanes. And you can go up to Category 5, which is really the most intense and destructive. Well, my journey to have a direct relationship with the Lord started about 4 years ago. And I was a believer in the Lord, but I had definitely fallen away. And at that time, I'd say I was probably in about a Category 4 storm. That would not stop. It was relentless. And if you're familiar with the book of Job and know his story, I could definitely relate to Job and how he had everything stripped away from him before he found the Lord. Well, during that storm, my sister, whose husband passed from a very freak accident just mowing his lawn, took me by the hand and said, "You're coming to church with me." So I wasn't going to argue. I said, "Okay, I'm going to go." So I went along, I kneeled down, and I prayed to the Lord for repentance and mercy. And I asked that he just help me get through all that was happening. And I have to say, although I didn't know it at that time, the Lord answered my prayer. Unbeknownst to me, that very week, he sent an angel to me. I didn't realize she was my angel until about 6 months later. And I still call her that today. But I also now call her my wife, Emily. This cross that I wear every day reminds me of my testimony to the Lord. This belonged to my sister's late husband. And he died with this wearing this cross. And it's because of this cross and our faith in the Lord that Emily and I have such a wonderful relationship today. Emily introduced me to the church, and it was through her that we found the Church of Piscataway. But my journey to the Church in Piscataway actually started in Richmond, Virginia. During the COVID, I didn't have any fellowship with the saints down, you know, the church down there. It was all by Zoom. It made it very difficult. But I had faith in the Lord, so I kept going. And I can tell you that I remember the very day after I got involved and I found myself with the Lord. I remember the very, very day that I felt an overwhelming sense of peace. I actually went for a walk one day, and I was praying to the Lord. And I love to walk in nature. And just that particular day, I was just overwhelmed with peace. I could feel the Lord's presence and His comforting peace within me. I still had all these problems, but I had peace inside. You know, I still had that storm, a Category 4 storm. It was swirling around me. But it was like I was in the eye of a hurricane. And if you know about the eye of the hurricane, there's no wind, there's no rain. It's tranquil inside the storm. So I felt like I was walking down the street with the Lord that day. And I was so overwhelmed by it. I mean, I literally broke down and cried that day. Well, to cut this a bit short, I don't want to take too much time here. I was stuck in another storm about losing my job. And I followed the Lord's leading through prayer with Emily over video chat. Because during the pandemic, she was stuck in Hong Kong, China. I was stuck here in the U.S. We were apart for almost a year before we were able to get together. And Emily liked New Jersey. I didn't. You know, she wanted to move to New Jersey. I was very against it. But we prayed on it. And thank the Lord, I got a new job with the same company. And it brought us to New Jersey. So the Lord said, "I don't care if you don't like New Jersey. You're going there." And I praise the Lord that we did. We have just really had a very fruitful life here in New Jersey with the church and with each other. But since we've moved here, I've created a very personal relationship with the Lord. I've learned how to pray better. I was baptized April 3rd of last year. And Emily and I were married in October of last year. And today, although I have storms still swirling around me, like everyone does, I have the Lord with me. And I feel like I have peace in my heart and spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Paul, for that wonderful sharing. So I don't know about you guys, but I think something that stood out to me was the fact that, you know, becoming a Christian, becoming saved, right, it doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away. Mm-hmm. In fact, you are still going to go through and experience all sorts of storms, both big and small. The only difference is now you're going to be sort of in the eye of the storm, right, per se. You know, you will be able to come to experience inner sense of peace. So I think right now, and I think his sharing really goes hand in hand with the third stanza, as well as the chorus of the hymn. So I think what we're going to do right now is we're going to go back to the hymn again, but we're just going to sing the third stanza and the chorus.
Sharing from my brother Peter. Yeah, sorry, it's the last one. I wish we could have many more stories, but we want to keep this time relatively short.
Oh man, I'm so nervous. Oh, Lord. Hey, so I just press the button when I'm ready to go?
Yep.
It's like this? I feel like a baby boomer, though. Like that?
There you go.
There we go. Oh.
But you don't want to hold it too close.
Oh, okay. Like here?
Maybe a little lower.
Okay. Hi. My name is Peter Sun, and I'm here tonight to testify my experience of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ and learning to make Him my rock in the storm. So, as you can all see on the outline of this little brochure, it says, Peace in the Storm. When I was asked to give a testimony, I just remember thinking, you know, when I was growing up, I always characterized my own life like a storm, actually. Growing up, there wasn't very much stability in my life. There was always shouting or some kind of violence at home. Or I was not always sure if I was going to get to eat dinner. Or my sister would survive the next day. She was always in the hospital. And, you know, there's just so many things for me to be anxious about. And my mom, who was pretty much my only foundation in life, she was always working late nights. And so I didn't have anyone to turn to, and I didn't have anyone I felt like I had. And so growing up, you know, I'd run into these Christians, and they'd tell me, oh, you need Jesus. And I remember just thinking to myself, Jesus, like, what has this magical sky man ever done for me? You know, like, I've taken care of myself. I've helped myself. Like, who are you to tell me that I need some fairy tale or some superstition in my life? And so in high school, I was still hurting and I was always angry, and I ran into these people online who had a very twisted and radical view of the world, and I think they could see that I was in a hard place, and they told me that I mattered and that it was okay for me to be angry. And that was the first time I'd ever felt acknowledged in that way, and so I just ate it right up. And when I got to college, this is getting really personal real fast, but when I got to college, you know, I was living check to check, and I was having a lot of problems with my personal relationships. And I just realized, you know, every friendship you make, you know, those people will leave you. That's why I felt. You know, you'll drift on, or you'll get into fights. Something is always going to happen.
And any job that I try to secure, any career I try to build, it's going to disappear. So what's the point of it all? And so I just remember completely diving into these radical politics is my source of myself, who I was. I was just like, if nothing else, at least this is who I am then. Because nothing else has given me the answer. Nothing else has given me any kind of stability in my life. So at least these people have been giving me some kind of answer. At least these people can tell me that they know how to fix the world and how I can be a part of it. So if no one else is going to tell me, then I'm going to go with them. But I remember being with them and running with them. I did a lot of things I was not proud of and said a lot of things that I didn't know if I believed in. But it was like this rabbit hole. And the more I kept going into it, the more I felt trapped and I couldn't get out. And I remember realizing, this isn't who I am. You know, like I feel like there's more to me than this, that I don't really believe in the things I'm saying or that I'm doing. But I didn't know how to get out. And actually, I remember just feeling really suffocated all the time. And so I was at a weird place where I just felt completely trapped. But I was unwilling to break myself out from that prison. And then I remember I was invited to a meeting kind of like this one. And they had free food. So my friends were all like, oh man, you're going to a Christian gathering? Like, you? And I was like, oh yeah, there's free food. Actually, you know, I had a much deeper seeking within. I think I wanted to know, maybe these people had the answers. Maybe they saw something that I didn't. And when I went there, I saw people who genuinely seemed to care about each other. People who were genuinely happy. People who weren't just bitter and upset. And I saw something. And even though I didn't believe in their God just yet, I was like, wow, you know? These are people that I want to be with. And I remember one morning I was at this... I went to this meeting. And the speaker was just talking about the need. Sorry, am I going over? I didn't even begin timing. Amen. I remember he was just stressing this need to have a personal relationship with the Lord and to touch Him in a personal way. And I remember just, they told us to go break off and have some time by ourselves with the Lord in that morning. I remember just being like, heck, okay, why not? You know, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You know, I've meditated before. I've had an imaginary friend. You know, it can be therapeutic. And I testify that time I spent with the Lord, that was the first time I ever cried in a public setting. I just felt like there were hundreds of little paper cuts all over my body that for the first time I felt like they were being tenderly kissed. And that I just was being cared for and touched in a real way. And that finally, that there was someone who was there for me, who could understand me. And I know it sounds crazy. Like, I was like, am I going crazy? Like, am I insane right now? And maybe I am, but like, you know, our love for the Lord and the Lord's love for us is insane. Anyways, I know I'm going a little over, but I really love this one verse. If you can open your scripture reading, Matthew 14:27. And it says, but immediately Jesus walked to them saying, take courage, it is I. Did you know if you go to the Greek, the actual Greek from which it's translated, it can also be translated as I am. And the name Jehovah means I am who I am, right? And so what I really appreciate about this verse and what has really been my experience is that actually, you know, on one hand, you know, God is saying, Peter, hey, that's me. Peter, take courage, for I am with you. I am here. It is I. But at the same time, He's saying, I am. It is who God is, His very person, Jesus Christ. I am who I am. It is the I am who is with you. And it's because I am, there is no need to have any fear. Take courage in me and who I am. When we pray to receive the Lord, and when we just pray in a simple way on our daily, you know, encounters of the Lord, just spending time with Him, that's just His person with us. And so, like our brother Paul, you know, I still have storms in my life, you know. It's not like, you know, I became a Christian and everything suddenly became magically, you know, 100% better. I don't have issues anymore. No. But I have the Lord, and I can pray, and I can spend time with Him. And just this morning, I went on the sweetest walk just around this little cul-de-sac we live in, Society Hill. And I was just like, you know, Lord, I'm really nervous about speaking tonight because, you know, I don't know. I've never really shared a lot of these things with anybody, you know, but I get to be with you, and if anything, that's enough. It is the God of the universe who placed the stars in the skies and, you know, the water in the sea. So I'm being like a little like unnecessarily poetic, but, you know, this God who created everything and placed everything where it is. This is the God who is with us, who is in our experience. And so, in verse 30, he just cries out saying, "Lord, save me." You know, whether we know it or not, I didn't know it. I was saying, "Lord, save me." I was so trapped and so far gone, and I didn't know what I needed. But praise the Lord that I just wanted free food that night, you know? And I went, and I saw something of the church, and eventually I was able to experience the Lord as my God and my personal Savior. So anyways, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you, Peter. That was very touching. Now, if you paid attention, I hope you paid attention, to the speakings, they would repeatedly mention, "Oh, I needed to have a relationship with the Lord. I needed to talk to God, spend time with Jesus." And I agree. We absolutely, in order to have peace in the storm, we have to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. But you can't have a relationship with someone you don't really know, you don't really understand. So it's necessary for us to see, who is this person, Jesus? And Peter, he even referred to the scripture reading. And everything that we know about our dear Lord Jesus comes from the Bible. Without the Bible, we have no idea who this person is. How can we talk to some person who's invisible? But he's very real. And so David and our brother David and brother Vedans will now explain, who is this person, Jesus? And what did he do for us? How could he be our peace in the storm today? So, David and Vedant.
Try not to hold it too close.
Right, my name is David, and really good to see you all tonight. And time really flies, right? Next week was Thanksgiving, and after that, we almost reached the end of 2020 and 2023. It's coming, and How are you all doing this year? Good? Yeah, just like our brother and sister has shared that so many things happened, like since 2020, right? COVID hit and some lost jobs, and there's an inflation going on, recession, and there's some conflict in Europe, all around the world, and seems like some troubles in the world, right? And on the other hand, like just in our brother and sister sharing, there are also some troubles in our human life. There are some storms. I believe no one likes troubles, right? Do you? No one likes troubles. And instead, we all like to be, you know, we all like to live a trouble-free life. We want to have peace, right? We want everything that goes well, like along with how we expect it, how we plan, and so that we can be at peace. We can at peace, and nothing bad really happens. But I think this kind of peace is like outwardly peace, outward peace, and this peace is more like temporarily. What does that mean? Temporarily is that this peace, when there's some troubles just happen, you have some issue, some environment, then this peace just goes away. This peace just disappear. So we need to have the other kind of peace that is more inward, like no matter what happens, no matter what situation we have, like just brother and sister have brought out, we are still in the storm, but inwardly we feel peace, right? So this is the peace we are going to cover tonight, and especially in our scriptural reading, Matthew 14, 22 to 33. So what about all we read the verses together? It's on your tracks. What about all the gentlemen on verse 22 and the ladies on 23, which is doing alternate? Ready? And immediately he fell into the boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. was already in the midst of the sea, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Disciples seeing him walking on the sea with sorrow, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. Said to him, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they got up into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. So in this story, Matthew 14, we can see that a group of disciples, they were about to have a journey. They are crossing from one side to another side of the sea. And actually, you know, we are the same disciple. We have the journey of our human life. And in our human life, there are something or some matter that we need to cross the sea, right? Just as the disciples, they need a boat to cross the sea. So the brother and sister have brought out that the something that part of our human life would be our boat, right? For example, if you have a job, you have your occupation, your job is your boat. And if you are married, you have spouse, husband, wife, the marriage is our boat. Or if you are still students, you are still in school, then school education would be your boat, right? So all this matter that is part of our human life, then it's our boat, that it can be likened in these verses. So we continue to verse 24. It says that now the boat was already in the midst of the sea and being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So it seems like the disciple at that time was facing the storm, right? And the situation is not so good and it's not so promising. And I have a question for you all. Like, have you ever been in this similar situation that your boat is being battered by the waves and you are facing the contrary winds? And for example, has your job, right? Has your job, your education, your financial situation ever have difficult times? For example, you know, in school, you fail a big test, or like you have a serious financial situation, right? The everything seems like developing toward a direction that is opposite to what we expected, what we thought. Like that was a storm, right? Or probably if you think that, oh, that's not me, I don't really have troubles in my human life, then that's good for you. But I think, have you ever experienced that if you are making a tough decision in your life, like what school I need to go, what job offer I should take, or what state I need to move to, or which one I should marry, then you have no idea, you have no clue. And sometimes when we are making a big decision, tough decision, we are afraid to make a wrong decision, right? And we feel anxious, we feel hopeless. And that's the time we need the inward peace. So I have good news for you all today, right? We all have troubles, or if you don't have troubles, we have sometimes we need to make decision. We need, sometimes we will be anxious, we'll be nervous. But the good news is we can receive the real peace, which is the Lord Jesus. So we back to the story of the Matthew. You know, in this story in chapter 14, the Lord Jesus eventually, you know, he came and joined the boat with disciples. And after Jesus on board, then the anxiety of the disciples were removed. Right? So it shows us that, just like brother and sister share, if we invite Lord Jesus into our boat, then we won't be anxious anymore, because the Lord is our inward
peace. When he talks about inward peace, I want to share some verses in Bible that talks about what peace is. So in the track, I think it's next to the hymns, there's a verse. Philippians 4:7. It says that, "And the peace of God, which surpasses every man's understanding, will guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus." You know, I love this verse so much. It says, God and the peace of God means that God himself is peace. So when God infuses into us, when God comes into us, then we would have this kind of peace. And next, it says that this peace surpasses every man's understanding. What does that mean, surpass? Surpass means that, you know, even though the environment is still there, right? The storm is still there. The trouble is still there. Problem is not resolved yet because we have Lord Jesus as our peace. So in the hymns we just sang, in the third stanzas, it says, "We believe into Lord Jesus and all will be well." You know, that's the peace that we talk about tonight. It's because we believe in the Lord. We have the Lord. So we believe all will be well. You know, people don't usually think that way. People usually depends on how we see, right? We only will feel peace when we see the environment become better, right? The problem is being solved. But that's our peace. The inward peace we have today, you know, is invite Lord Jesus into our boats, and He is a real peace. So no matter what is going on right now, surrounding our environment, we can still enjoy Him as our peace. And so I have just bring out this matter that when God infuses into us, when God comes into us, then we can enjoy this peace. And how and when would God infuse into us? Actually, this question is answered in the one verse before this verse. It's not on the track, but I will read it for you. It's Philippians 4:6. It says, "In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Wow. It says, in nothing. Not one thing, not two things, not in few things. No, in nothing, being anxious. And then, but in everything, all the troubles we have, all the storm we have, everything, by prayer and petition. What is prayer? What is pray to God? Actually, it's really simple. Just talk to God. Have conversation with the Lord. You know, you just tell Him what trouble you have, what decision you need to make, what story you are currently inside. You just tell everything to the Lord. So we by prayer and petition, right, we let our request to be known to God. And what is the outcome? It's a verse we just read. And the peace of God, which surpasses every man's understanding, will guard our heart and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. So in conclusion, right, in order to receive this peace, we need to in nothing be anxious, but by prayer and petition, everything we just tell the Lord, and the Lord is the peace of God, which surpasses every man's understanding. Even our understanding will guard our hearts, our thoughts in Christ Jesus. I think I will stop here and I will pass over to Brother Higgins and we'll continue the sharing.
I think human life certainly is full of troubles. And I think all of us have this experience of being hit by waves and being battered by waves. I think the verse that David read, maybe I'll read it again. This is Matthew 14:24. It says, "Now the boat was already in the midst of the sea, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary." So the boat was already in the midst of the sea. I think, you know, we find ourselves in this world that we were born into, right? We find ourselves in difficult situations, And we find that we are being battered by these waves. And so, and most of us, and I think all of us, can admit that this word is true. We are, in human life, we will be battered and hit by waves. But, I think hearing this speaking, we'll really find, the answer that all of us are looking for. And we'll find the meaning, to human life so that we can journey on this human life, though it's full of troubles. When I was a young boy, I grew up in a single parent household, and my mom raised us. I had two brothers, and my mom, we didn't have a lot of money, and so she used to work double shifts, and she did everything that she could do to satisfy our hunger. And me being a young boy, I had a big appetite. And so my mom, what she would do is, she would only eat half of her food, and she would give the other half to me. But what my mother did not know was that although she could satisfy my outward hunger, but she could never give me the inward satisfaction and peace that I needed. When I was 12, my parents separated. And one day, I came home from school, and I went to open my door to my house, and I realized that it was locked, and I couldn't get in. And so here I am, a 12-year-old boy. I'm facing a storm, and long story short, we got evicted. And at that point, I realized that human life is hard, and it's full of many troubles, just as we see in this story. None of us are exempt from the troubles of human life. And as you journey on, the waves will continue to come, one after another. The next verse continues, 25. It was the fourth watch of the night. That means that there was three watches previously before that. The disciples were deep into the night. And so they had been struggling, and they had been rowing. They were tired, and the sea, well, the winds were contrary. Right? Some of us, maybe we've been struggling through life. Outwardly, we put on a smile. But inwardly, we have no peace, no rest. We know that the troubles are too much to handle, and there's nothing that we can do. Have you ever felt like this? This is not merely a story, but this is the word of God to help us to see that in these difficult times, in these times of trouble and affliction, there's a way to have peace. And so, what we see next is that Jesus is walking on the sea, right? The disciples seeing him walked on the sea. So the question is, who is Jesus? And how can he walk on the sea? Well, only God alone can trod upon the waters of the earth. This act of walking on the sea shows us that Jesus is God. Right? He knows everything, and he's coming to the disciples. He knows the situation that they were in. And I believe tonight he knows all of our situations as well. So it doesn't matter who you are. You could be in middle school, you could be in college, you could be working. None of us are exempt from the troubles of human life. And there's many troubles, there's many storms that we face, whether it's a financial crisis, a health crisis, loss of job, losing a dear family member. How would we react in these situations? Even the pandemic recently, the pandemic was a storm. And all of us had to face that storm. But some of us had peace during the pandemic, and others were just being battered by the waves. And so Jesus is God, right? And Jesus cares. The Son of God came into the troubled world, right? And maybe you're afraid of Jesus. Even in the disciples, and in this story, the disciples thought it was a ghost. And maybe you heard of Jesus before. But we see in this story that actually Jesus cares. And He wants to come to us. And I believe tonight, this is the Lord coming to you. But will you let Him in? Will you receive this one who cares for you, who knows your every need, and who can give you the true satisfaction and peace? So the Son of God came into the troubled world, and He lived among men. He knows the troubles. He was a man. He became a man. God became a man. And so He knew the troubles that we face. And so it's not that the troubles are something that He doesn't know, but actually He Himself, He faced troubles. And as we're going to see, the Lord lived for 33 and a half years. And at the end of His, the way that He died was through crucifixion. The Lord Jesus, He died on the cross for our sins, right? So that we could be saved and so that we could know God. And so, the only way for us to have true peace is through this one, Jesus Christ. And He tells us that in the world you have affliction. You have troubles, many troubles in the world. But He says, take courage. I have overcome the world. And so through His dying on the cross, He's able to save us. And to bring us this long forward peace. The Lord, in order for Him to bring peace to us, we must first repent of our sins. All of our failures, wrongdoings that we've committed. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So even in the midst of our troubles, there's a failure to express God. Right? Only Jesus can overcome the troubles of human life. Right? And so He died for our sins. He went to the cross so that we can know Him, we can receive eternal life, and we could receive this one. We can receive salvation and peace. And so the only way for us to know Jesus is actually to admit that we're sinners, and that what He says, His word is true, and we receive Him as Lord, the Lord of the universe. And so, the Lord Jesus, He cares for each and every one of us, and so He doesn't want to leave us in this troubled world that's full of affliction. Actually, what He wants to do is give us the peace. He wants to give us Himself as peace. So after our Lord Jesus died, He actually then stayed dead. The good news is that Christ Jesus, He resurrected. And it's as the resurrected Lord that He can give Himself as peace to us. He's not interested in merely giving us things, but peace is a person. It's none other than the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us He Himself is our peace. And so I believe the Lord is speaking to many of us tonight that in order to have peace, we need to have Jesus Christ. Peace is not something apart from Jesus. Peace is Jesus Himself. And so we can receive Him into our boat, and this boat of human life, and we can enjoy Him as peace. So I'll end off in this way. Maybe, you know, there's a certain situation that you faced, or you've been in, and there's a certain storm that's been troubling you. and you don't have any solution. You don't know how to go on. And you're like the disciples. You're just rowing and rowing. The message tonight is that you can find peace in Jesus Christ simply by receiving Him tonight, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And the Lord Jesus does not want to take us out of the storms, but actually what He wants to do is come into the storm, right, and bring us the peace that we need. And so, because the Lord, He actually faced the greatest storm ever, which was Him suffering His crucifixion, His dying on a cross for us. Him suffering in the waters of God's judgment. That was the greatest storm ever. And so He knows what we need. He knows that we need Him as peace. And so tonight, if you would like to know Christ and to receive this peace, there's going to be an opportunity for you to pray to receive the Lord. And you can experience this peace that David alluded to. The Bible tells us that this peace surpasses every man's understanding. That means this: you could be in the situation and you don't understand. Whatever your storm may be, you, through fellowship and intimacy with God, you're able to experience a peace that surpasses, that is greater than even your own understanding. And this is the peace that that we experience, which is Jesus Christ Himself. And so in all these journeys that we're on, we're able to find the rest and the peace that we need through Jesus. And so I think Shepherd is going to come up and help us, if anyone... You feel led tonight to pray to receive the Lord. Here's your opportunity. I'll pass it over to Shepherd.
Like our brother mentioned, we'll give everyone opportunity tonight. And I really hope you would take advantage of this opportunity. I really like this story. The story tells us that Jesus is walking towards us. Maybe I'll just say a little bit something to add to this speaking tonight. You know, I see in this audience we have ones of different ages. And we all have our storms. You know, if you're in your teens or 20s, you have your storm. And I'm not looking down on your storms. If you're in your 50s or 60s, you have your storms. Everyone's storms is different. And I hope you don't misunderstand our message tonight. We're not saying once you invite Jesus into your boat, the storms will disappear. That's not the case. Actually, there's another story in the Bible that talks about Jesus sleeping in the midst of the storm. But the message tonight is that once you welcome Jesus into your heart, into your boat, it doesn't matter what kind of storms you're facing, but you will find peace. You know, the Lord in John, in the Gospel of John, He says, "My peace I will give to you." Who in this universe could say such a thing? "My peace I give to you." Do you have peace that you can offer me? I don't have any peace that I can offer you. But there is someone in this universe that can offer peace to us in the midst of the storm. And He's the one who is walking towards us tonight. You know, as the brothers and all the sisters were sharing, you know, I came to this conclusion. You know, all the storms in life, you know what it does? Actually, it exposes one thing: our true condition before God. Actually, that's our question tonight. What is your condition before God? Is Jesus in your boat? I hope He is. Or is He not in your boat? Or maybe He's further away from your boat. Maybe He's walking towards your boat now, tonight. But the storms of life really expose our true condition before God. Where am I in relation to God? And before I tell you the good news, actually, I just want to paint this picture. You know, it's not that, you know, He desires to merely bring peace in the midst of all of the outward storms of life and relationships and so on and so forth. You know, the greatest storm, the peace that we really need in our lives, and that is the peace we have with God. You know, in the Bible, there is this phrase or this word that mankind has enmity against God. You know what that means? That means enmity means there's two parties and there are ends. There's a conflict. There's a disagreement. They're not getting along well. You can say they're enemies. And what is needed is reconciliation, right? To bring two parties together. Actually, this happens a lot in family life. You know, I'm married, I have little ones. And, you know, different parties, we get into disagreements. And somebody, and most of the time it's the mommy, she needs to, you know, bring the two parties together, right? To reconcile. Well, tonight I'd like to ask you all a question. What is your relationship before God? Are you at ends, right? Are you still considered an enemy? Or, rather, will you receive Jesus into your heart and so that you can have peace, at peace with God, right? And this is actually something very subjective. We could be sitting here and we could be at turmoil. We could be restless. We could be unsettled. Why? It's because we don't have this peace. So this is an internal struggle. Also, what was brought out tonight is outwardly. Outwardly, there's also a struggle. All of the different relationships, right? Husbands, wife, father, children, mother, children, brother, sister, right? Teacher, students. So many different relationships we're in. You know, we also need to have peace in every kind of relationship. And in the Bible, it says that on the cross, you know what the Lord did? He abolished in His flesh the law of commandments and ordinances. And what that means is the ordinances that separated, that caused there to be strife between people, between relationships, the Lord nailed it on the cross. Right? And so that, what? He could make peace among us. Isn't that wonderful? That is the only way, friends, this is the only way that there could be marital peace. That there could be peace between siblings. There could be peace between parents and children. It's all because the Lord Jesus Himself, He is this peace. And He abolished on the cross all of the ordinances, all of the things that divide us and separate us. Right? So tonight, this is our message to you. Will you accept this peace into your boat, into your lives? Well, so there's actually a very easy way. Our brothers and sisters have alluded to this. I'll need some help from the piano. You know, the first step is actually we need to turn our hearts to the Lord. We need to turn our heart to God and to repent. Repent just means to turn. Maybe before the meeting tonight, you had a certain concept about God, right? You had a certain belief about God. Well, tonight, we can all make a turn. And actually, this hymn, I really like this hymn. This hymn is a very good way for us to turn, right? How about we all stand up? Let's sing the chorus together one more time. Okay, this chorus that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. This is the first step, right? It's to turn our heart back to God. So, piano, maybe you could play it. And how about all of us? Let's just sing this all together, the chorus. James, turn your to turn my. Turn my eyes upon Jesus. Okay? Personalize it. Okay, go ahead. Closed. I think by now we know this chorus. Let's just sing it to the Lord Jesus. Okay? Turn. Please remain standing. Because we really like you to receive, right, this wonderful Jesus as peace into your hearts. Actually, we prepared a little prayer here. You know, in the Bible, to believe is the same as to receive. So if tonight there's something within you that you believe what the brothers and sisters have said, something about this wonderful person, then I charge you, I encourage you tonight to pray this prayer to receive this wonderful person into your heart. Okay, so you don't have to analyze, you don't have to try to figure everything out, but it's just a matter, it's a response within your heart. Right, whether or not there's something within you that wants this person, right, this Jesus who is the real peace. Okay, so how about this? How about let's keep our eyes closed, and if you'd like to pray with me, unless we could all pray together, we'll pray this prayer together and to receive Him into our hearts. Okay, and so I'll read it or I'll pray it, and then you could pray after me. Lord Jesus, I need you.
Lord Jesus, I need you.
Thank you, Lord, you are the real peace.
Thank you, Lord, you are the real peace.
Thank you for coming as my Savior into this world.
Thank you for coming as my Savior into this world.
I'd like to invite you into my heart.
I'd like to invite you into my heart.
Thank you for dying for my sins.
Thank you for dying for my sins.
Thank you, I can be reconciled back to God.
Thank you, I can be reconciled back to God.
I want to have a life that is at peace with God.
I want to have a life that is at peace with God.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
Lord Jesus, I believe in you.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Fill me with your peace.
Fill me with your peace.
Be with me in my life's journey.
Be with me in my life's journey.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, thank you. You could be seated. Well, if you prayed this prayer with me tonight, then I have good news for you. You have the peace, right, that surpasses every man's understanding, that is now in your boat, in your heart, and that will really guide you for the rest of your life. We also like to issue a call for baptism. You know, baptism is a wonderful fact in the Bible. It says that, you know, as believers, we need to believe and to be baptized so that we could be saved. To believe is something that is very subjective. It's something that's, you could say, intrinsic within you. And that is necessary. But baptism is something outward. And it is a declaration. It is a confirmation. It is to say to declare that I am one with Jesus, right? When He died, I died. When He rose, I arose. And so tonight we actually have provision. If you like to be baptized, maybe some of you came as a believer but never been baptized. Or maybe some of you, you strayed from God, right, for years or for months. And you like to make a turn back to the Lord. Well, tonight there is an opportunity, right, for you to be baptized, right, and to really enjoy this wonderful salvation that we have as believers. So I don't know if anyone who wants to be baptized, you could stand up and so that we could see you. If you have a decision within your heart. Okay, if not, that is okay as well. Okay, amen. So we're going to officially end here. But what we like to do before we send everybody off for dessert, and I think we also have a welcome gift for everybody, is maybe just for a few minutes, just in small groups with those that are with you, we could have some more fellowship. If you have any questions, if you're here as a friend, feel free. And I think we also have some maybe some response cards, and also, like I said, a welcome gift to give to you all. Okay? So on behalf of the church in Piscataway, we really like to thank everyone for coming tonight. And we really hope you enjoyed the food, the speaking, and just being with one another. Okay? And so I think we'll officially end here. But maybe for the next 5 minutes or so, we could just have some more discussion in smaller groups. Okay? All right. Thank you.
Maybe just with you nearby, you know.
Thank you.
still going.
Thank you.